Saha, that Supreme Lord. I am the Lord Shri Krishna. Adya, at present. Maharaja, O King. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Bhuta Bhavana, the creator or the father of everything created. Kala Rupaha, in the disguise of all dividing time. Avatirna, descended. Asyam, upon the world. Abhavaya, for eliminating. Suradvisham, those were against the will of the Lord. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, in the guise of all dividing time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on earth to eliminate the envious from the world. Please repeat after me. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, in the guise of all dividing time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on the earth to eliminate the envious from this world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are two classes of human beings, namely the envious and the obedient. Since the Supreme Lord is one and the Father of all living beings, the envious living beings are also His sons. But they are known as the Asuras. But the living beings who are obedient to the Supreme Father are called Devata or demigods, because they are not contaminated by the material conception of life. Not only are the Asuras envious of the Lord in even denying the existence of the Lord, but they are also envious of all other living beings. The predominance of Asuras in the world is occasionally rectified by the Lord when He eliminates them from this world and establishes a rule of Devatas like the Pandavas. His designation as Kala in disguise is significant. He is not at all dangerous, but he is the transcendental form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. For the devotees, his factual form is disclosed, and for the non-devotees, he appears like Kala Rupa, which is causal form. This causal form of the Lord is not at all pleasing to the Asuras, and therefore they think of the Lord as formless in order to feel secure that they will not be vanquished by the Lord. Soyam Adya Maharaja Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana Kala Rupa Avatirnasyam Abhavaya Surat Viswam. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, in the guise of all dividing time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on earth to eliminate the envious from the world. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling very much afflicted when one morning he found that his both uncles, Dhritarashtra and Vidura, and his aunt, Gandhari, were missing. Yudhishthira Maharaj, after performing his morning rituals, that is, worshipping the Lord, performing sacrifice and giving charity to the Brahmanas, his next duty was to offer obeisances to the superiors. That he did every day. This was Yudhishthira Maharaj's daily routine. He would first worship the Lord. Although a king, he always maintained this very humble and submissive attitude. He would worship the Lord in the morning, perform sacrifice, and then give cows and grains and gold in charity to the Brahmanas. And then he would offer obeisances to his superiors, his uncle Dhritarashtra, aunt Gandhari, and his own mother Kunti Devi. But that particular morning when he went, he found that Dhritarashtra was missing, and he also couldn't find his uncle Vidura. Vidura just returned from a long pilgrimage. Vidura, his uncle, was born out of a Sudra maidservant of his grandmother. Yesterday we discussed briefly about how Ambika and Ambalika, the two wives of Vichitravirya, did not have a son when their husband died, didn't have any offspring. And so Vasudeva was invited by Satyavati, the wife of King Shantanu, the mother of Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. And they were to receive the children from Vedavyas, Vasudeva. Now this system was bona fide, authorized according to the Vedic injunction. If the brother dies without having any son, then the other brother could procreate in the womb of the widowed wife, which has been forbidden in this age. So Vasudeva was invited, who was actually the half-brother of Vichitravirya, because Vasudeva also was the son of Satyavati. And Vasudeva first was asked to procreate in the womb of Ambika. And when Satyavati found out that the son that would be born out of Ambika would be blind, so she decided to have another son. And Ambalika was asked to meet with Vasudeva. So Ambalika did not close her eyes, but seeing the fierce form of Vasudeva, she became pale. And therefore, Vasudeva told his mother Satyavati, when she asked whether everything was all right, Vasudeva said, "Yes, a very powerful son will be born. He'll be a valiant warrior. He'll be very generous, and he'll be endowed with all wonderful qualities. He'll be an ideal king. But his complexion will be pale, because at the time of conception, the mother became pale out of fear." So the word Pandu literally means pale. So his complexion was pale. But Satyavati again requested, "Have another son." But this time both the wives of Vichitravirya did not dare to approach Vasudeva. So they got a very beautiful maidservant of theirs. Actually, those days, when a princess got married to a king or a prince, then her father would also send her friends along with her. They were treated as kind of maidservant, but they were also very beautiful looking Many of them are very beautiful looking young girls. And one such beautiful friend of Ambika, was asked to go to Vasudev when he came. And as a result of their union, Vidura was born. Now Vidura was an extremely wise person from his very early days. Actually, Vidura is an incarnation of Jamaraj. Jamaraj was cursed by Mandava Muni that he would be born as a Sudra, as a lowborn. He was not really lowborn in that sense, but because his mother was a Sudra, Sudrani, a maidservant, he also, according to his birth, was a Sudra. But Prabhupada pointed out that Vidura was so wise, obviously because it was one of the pastimes arranged by the Lord, that Jamaraj himself, who is a Mahajan, was born as a Sudra. Actually, he was not a Sudra, he was brought up in the royal family with all kinds of royal facilities. But Vedic structure was so rigid, the Varnashram structure was so rigid at that time, that if someone was born, at least socially, he used to be treated according to his birth. So since he was born out of a Sudra mother, he was considered to be a Sudra, and he didn't actually have the right to the throne. But at the same time, he was treated as one of the brothers. And Vidura also was very, very forthright, very outspoken, very upright and noble person. All along we have seen that Vidura was a great devotee of Krishna and a very, very straightforward person. Vidura, whenever he saw that something was wrong, he would immediately address it. For example, when Duryodhana was born and there were all kinds of inauspicious signs, then Vidura could understand that this son and this child is going to be a big menace to the entire Kuru dynasty. He recognized that this person may be the cause of the destruction of the Kuru dynasty. And he told his brother Dhritarashtra that, look, this son of yours who is just born is going to be the cause of great calamity to the entire family. So get rid of him. He advised him that, look, get rid of this newborn. But Dhritarashtra, due to his intense attachment to his son, he couldn't do that. He couldn't follow the advice of Vidura. And many a times Vidura spoke to Dhritarashtra very, very boldly. Although he was his elder brother, although he was from the royal descendant, whereas he himself was treated as a Sudra. But he didn't hesitate to call a spade. He would always tell him that, look, what you are doing yourself, that is supporting your sons and acting against the interest of the Pandu's children, is causing you a great sinful, will result into a great sinful reaction. And those reactions of your sinful activities are going to bear some very, very painful result. But Dhritarashtra still will listen to it. Prabhupada in that respect said that Dhritarashtra was not only blind by eyes, he was also spiritually blind. He was not only materially blind, he was not only physically blind, he was spiritually blind as well. Because he did not see. Krishna and Krishna's devotees. He did not recognize Krishna and Krishna's devotees. That is the spiritual blindness. Materially one may be blind, but if one is spiritually awake, then that blindness doesn't matter. There had been many individuals who had been blind. But spiritually they were enlightened. And their spiritual vision not only compensated for their material blindness, but actually elevated them to a very, very exalted position. Therefore, it is better to be materially blind or physically blind or spiritually awake than materially have eyes but spiritually remain blind. Most of the people in this world today are actually blind spiritually. They're blind and deaf and dumb spiritually. Although materially they may have all their senses in perfect order, but their spiritual deficiency makes their life completely useless. So Dhritarashtra was not only physically blind, he was spiritually blind as well, because he didn't recognize Krishna. And he was blinded with affection for his own children who were very sinful. Krishna comes to establish dharma and Kali comes to establish adharma. Duryodhana is actually an incarnation of Kali in Dwapar Yuga. And Duryodhana was completely averse to Krishna, completely against Krishna. And one who is against Krishna automatically becomes averse to Krishna's devotees. Pandavas were natural devotees of Krishna. Just as Duryodhana and his brothers were inimical towards Krishna, their attitude was completely opposite. They were very, very attached to Krishna. But Duryodhana did not see that attachment was spiritual. They thought that Krishna is partial towards them because Krishna is Pandava's cousins. Krishna's father, Vasudeva, and Pandava's mother, Kunti, were brother and sister. Kunti was Vasudeva's sister. But his father gave Kunti to his cousin, Kunti Khoj, who didn't have any children. And so according to her stepfather's name, Kunti Khoj, she got the name Kunti. Otherwise her name actually was Pritha. So Kunti's sons, Pandavas and Krishna were cousins. And Duryodhana used to think that they are allies because they have close family tie. But the Pandavas were attached to Krishna not because of any familial relationship, but because of their natural attraction to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure devotee. Anyway, materially that's how people cannot really see the spiritual considerations. They simply try to judge everything and calculate everything according to material calculation. Oh, they are related to each other, that's why they are friends. But for a devotee, we see even now, for the sake of Krishna, so many devotees have given up their families and friends, practically all of you. Don't have any relationship with your family. Blood relationship didn't really mean anything. We all, when we joined the movement, we left home and moved into the temple. This morning I was talking to Brihashloka Prabhu, one of our god brothers. He joined the movement when he was 12 years old. Now he is 44 years, but he joined the movement 32 years ago as a 12-year-old boy. And he left his, that 12-year-old boy left his family, walked into the tent, and he became so attracted to the movement that he just left everything and became a devotee. And that happened to so many of us, and it's happening to so many of you. How old were you when you joined Radha Madhava Prabhu? I see. And how old were you when you joined?
37.
Ramadhu Prabhu, how old were you when you joined?
24.
Yeah, so at a very young age, the devotees left everything and walked into the temple, became a part of ISKCON, became and gave their whole life to the movement. When Mother Jadurani came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, she was the first girl to actually join the temple. She got to know Srila Prabhupada, became attracted to him. And she wanted to move into the temple. The brahmacharis were staying in the temple, but there was no girl staying in 26 Second Avenue, the apartment behind, in one of the apartments in the house behind. Srila Prabhupada was staying. Jagrani insisted. Her name was Judy, right?
Judy.
Yeah, Judy. She insisted. Prabhupada said, look, I mean, the temple is not meant for girls. I mean, this ashram is not meant for girls. But she insisted. And Prabhupada tried to convince her to go home and come from the temple. And she said, I don't have any home. And the person who is supposed to be my father is not really my father. You are my dear father. So this is my dear home. And that's how a devotee feels. As soon as one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, he severs practically all relationship with his physical relations. All the bodily relationship become completely irrelevant. And that has been always the case. Like here also we are seeing, the Pandavas felt a deep attraction for Krishna. And for the sake of Krishna, they could tolerate any difficulty. Because they were devotees of the Lord, not only Krishna being present on the planet, a devotee is a devotee. A devotee is attracted to the Lord under all circumstances, whether they see the Lord face to face or not. So, Pandavas are perfect examples of devotees, along with their mother, Kunti Devi. And the wonderful thing about the devotees, because of their attraction to Krishna, all the material difficulties do not really bear any significance to them. They're completely oblivious about the material difficulties because of their absorption in Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that for the sake of you, if I accept any difficulty, that is not difficulty, rather that becomes the source of my joy. For your sake, whatever difficulties we go through doesn't actually remain as difficulties, they become the source of joy. So that is the attitude of a devotee. The Pandavas and another wonderful characteristic of a devotee is that he is completely oblivious of how badly people may treat them. Their attitude is so merciful towards all living entities, and because they accept everything as the mercy of the Lord, they even accept the difficulties as the mercy of the Lord. If somebody treats them badly, they just accept it well. That is what Krishna wants. Although Dhritarashtra had not been very kind to them from their childhood, and Dhritarashtra in a way had been a party to all the conspiracies that were fraught in order to destroy them by his son, he became a party to that because he, although he was not conspiring with them, but because he mentally supported them, he was also a party to that. Dhritarashtra knew when Duryodhana tried to burn them alive in the game of dice, when Duryodhana cheated them. Dhritarashtra was always aware of that, but he didn't try to stop that. And that's why Vidura pointed out that, look, you are eating their foodstuff today, but you should consider that these are the people that you tried to kill. These are the people, these are the individuals that you wanted to get rid of. But today you are just being sustained by their mercy. And that's how Vidura actually provoked him to leave home. Just take vanaprastha, go to the Himalayas and prepare for death. Finally, Dhritarashtra actually listened to Vidura's instruction. Previously, he did not. If he listened to Vidura's instructions, then so much bloodshed and so many lives could have been saved. The battle of Kurukshetra could have been averted. Even at the last moment, Vidura, when the battle of Kurukshetra was being arranged by Duryodhana, Pandavas were prepared to make any kind of compromise. Pandavas told Duryodhana, give us, actually Krishna went on their behalf to plead to Duryodhana and said, just give them 5 villages. You don't have to give their kingdom back. Duryodhana, when the Pandavas, he tried to burn them. He tried to burn the Pandavas alive in a house made of shalaks. Inflammable house. But by Vidura's good advice, the Pandavas were saved. Vidura made all the arrangements. It is said when they were actually going to that house, they told that, oh, go and have a beautiful time in a beautiful place and beautiful arrangements have been made for you. So you go and have a vacation. The Pandavas were invited to go there for a vacation, but Vidura figured out that it was actually a conspiracy to burn them alive. And then Vidura spoke to them in a language that was unknown to anybody else. It's called this, he spoke to them in Vecha language, the language of the Vechas. Really, he spoke in English. And he told them that, warned Yudhishthira Maharaj, that this is what is going to happen. Be careful. It's a conspiracy to burn you all in that house. And then Vidura sent a person who is expert in digging tunnel. So at night they would dig the tunnel from the house, out of the house, into the forest. And then the day they were supposed to light the fire. Pandavas lit the fire, set the house in fire, and they escaped through the tunnel. And it so happened by the divine arrangement of providence, five brahmanas along with their mother, they became so tired after eating a lot of prasad that they fell asleep and they got burnt. And in the morning when the people came and found that these remains of the bodies of these five boys and one woman, they thought Pandavas were burnt along with Kunti. And they were wandering around Pandavas in the disguise of a Brahmana. And then of course they went to Draupadi Swayambara. Draupadi was about to get married. Draupadi was the most celebrated beauty of that time. She was considered the most beautiful woman. And Draupadi was to choose her husband. Drupad, Draupadi's father, always wanted that Draupadi should be married to Arjuna. But now that their Pandavas are dead, now Draupadi had to select her own husband. And a very difficult arrangement was made, that they have to shoot the eye of a revolving fish. The fish was static. There was a revolving wheel with one hole in it. And one had to pierce the eye of the fish, looking down, not looking up, but looking down on a plate of water. Looking at the reflection on a plate of water had to pierce the eye of that fish. And if you could do that, then Draupadi could be won by him. It's practically an impossible task. But Drupad set an arrangement like that because he, at the heart of his heart, he had a feeling that the Pandavas didn't die. Arjuna is still alive. And he knew that it's only Arjuna who could actually perform such a feat of archery. And so they got the news, the Pandavas got the news that Draupadi is going to select her husband. So they thought, let's go also and watch the fun. And when no one succeeded, Drupad actually asked, Drishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, made an announcement. In the Kshatriya line, we couldn't find anyone suitable for Draupadi. But it is said that a girl can be married to a boy from a higher caste. According to Vedic understanding, a girl from the lower caste can be married to a boy from the higher caste. But a girl from the higher caste cannot get married to a boy from the lower caste. The Vedic society, the structure in the Vedic society was very, very specifically and scientifically designed. There is, what is the reason why a girl from the higher caste cannot get married to somebody from the lower caste? Because a girl from the higher caste is considered to be the mother. superior, a woman from a superior caste is treated like a mother by man, by members of the inferior caste. So that's why a woman from a higher caste couldn't get married to, was not supposed to get married to some boy from a lower caste. Anyway, so Drishtadyumna made that announcement, if any Brahmana will try to fulfill this condition, so they provoke, Bhima provoked that, why don't you give it a try? So, and when Arjun stood up, all the Brahmanas tried to pull him down. They said, this man has become crazy. Seeing the beauty of this girl, he has lost his senses. Therefore, he is acting in such a reckless way, such an insane way. But other Brahmanas said, let him give it a try. Because after all, the Brahmana was superior to the Kshatriya. Don't you remember Parasuram? He wiped out all the Kshatriyas. He was a Brahmana. So if this Brahmana wants to give it a try, let him try. And so finally, Arjun went there and he pierced the eye of that fish. An impossible fit was achieved. Draupadi came to give the garland, but at that time all the Kshatriyas stood up against. He said that. It's a disgrace to the Kshatriyas. That. And oh yeah, they actually said that. That he actually did not pierce the eye. It's a false claim. Drupad, in order to insult all the Kshatriyas, has declared that this Brahman has pierced the eye of that fish. Because the fish is so high up, who can see whether he really pierced the eye of the fish? Then Arjun picked up the bow and arrow again, and this time he just dislodged the fish and the fish fell and everyone saw that. Yes, the eye of the fish has been pierced. But then they became all very envious and they wanted to attack Arjun. And Arjun defeated all of them. Arjun, with the help of Bhima, defeated them and took that royal prize along with them. So we can see that the Pandavas, although they were apparently wandering around like homeless vagabonds, but they were not really as such. They were having a wonderful time wherever they went. They killed a terrible demon called Bakasura and relieved the whole village where they were staying, the village of Ekachakra. And so when Draupadi was won in this way, Bhishma started to consider that this probably is Arjuna, along with the brothers. So he said, and Drupad also. First it was actually Drupad. Drupad considered that, that probably this is Arjuna in disguise. So he sent the spy to follow them and find out who they actually are. And the spy came back with the news that yes, now these five brothers are Pandavas and their mother is still alive. And so Drupad was extremely happy to hear that, because all along he wanted Draupadi to be married to Arjuna. And then the news spread and Bhishma advised Dhritarashtra, look, Pandavas are alive, so we have to bring them back. So they were brought back and it was decided that half of the kingdom should be given to them. So they gave a kind of a part of the kingdom which was absolutely useless piece of land. It was just a barren piece of land. There was nothing. They kept the Hastinapur for themselves, but what they offered to the Pandavas was just a barren piece of land. But Pandavas, with the help of Vishwakarma, built a beautiful city called Indraprastha. The city of Indra was built. And it was so beautiful that Duryodhana became envious. And it was built in such a magical way that according to the nature of the person, he would see things there. Like, for example, a sinful person will see flat land as water, and he will see water as flat land. So, while walking, Duryodhana, because of his sinful nature, where it was plain land, he just lifted up his dhoti, thinking that it was water. He tried to walk through that. And he fell into water, thinking that it was plain land. And Draupadi started to laugh. And he just couldn't tolerate that. Therefore, he did decide to take revenge. And the arrangement was made to invite Yudhishthira Maharaj in a game of deceitful game of dice. The Kshatriyas are expected to accept the challenge. When some other Kshatriya challenges the Kshatriya into a fight or a game of dice, he cannot refuse that. But that fight is fair fight, and the game of dice also is a fair game of dice. But Duryodhana's uncle, Shakuni, his maternal uncle, was a wizard in game of dice. No one could actually defeat him. And he started to play on behalf of Duryodhana. And Yudhishthira Maharaj lost everything, including Draupadi. So, Pandavas all along tried to harm them in all kinds of ways. Like they tried to burn them alive, they poisoned Bhima, they took away everything from them, including their wife, their kingdom, everything. So finally the battle of Kurukshetra was, the Pandavas returned from their exile, 12 years of exile and 1 year remaining incognito. And when they returned, Duryodhana, it was conditioned that when they would come back, they would get the kingdom back. But Duryodhana refused to return it to them. And at that time, Krishna pleaded to Duryodhana, "Duryodhana, just give them 5 villages. Avoid this fratricidal war. Just give them 5 villages and they'll be happy. I assure you. They'll be happy." But Duryodhana refused to even give that. So the battle was inevitable. At that time, Vidura told them, this Duryodhana, he started to tell him how vile, how sinful, how evil he was. And he again warned Dhritarashtra and the senior members of the Kuru assembly, that get rid of the sinful one. He doesn't have the right to become a king. Get rid of him, because he is going to be the cause of the destruction of millions of lives. But at that time, Duryodhana started to insult him, calling him a dog who just eats his master's food and then bites the same master. Vidura just walked away. So before the battle of Kurukshetra, Vidura left Hastinapur And he was just wandering around from one place of pilgrimage to another place of pilgrimage. And there he came across Maitreya Rishi, who instructed him on the spiritual knowledge. Of course, Vidura is a pure devotee. But still, for the sake of setting the proper example, Vidura accepted him as a spiritual master. And then finally, when the battle was over, Pandavas were reinstated in their rightful position. Yudhishthira Maharaj was coronated as a king. So Vidura returned home after a long pilgrimage. And everyone in the family became so happy to see Vidura. It has been described that their condition was like a body that has regained its consciousness again. Because all this while, due to the loss of so many other family members, everyone was very morose. In spite of becoming king, Yudhishthira Maharaj was extremely depressed. But when Vidura came back, everybody became so happy. And at that time, Vidura had a personal meeting with Dhritarashtra. Quietly he met with Dhritarashtra and he advised him to quit home, to leave home. That's what has been described in this chapter. And Dhritarashtra, along with Gandhari, left home, went to the Himalayas, southern part of Himalayas, where the saintly people have their hermitage. So he spent the rest of his days in a beautiful, serene and spiritually enlivening atmosphere. So that also happened due to Vidura's instruction. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was completely devastated when he found that his uncle has left along with his aunt. And he blamed himself for that. He started to wonder, what actually happened? Did I fail to take care of them properly? They were so unhappy after losing their children. They lost all their 100 children along with the grandchildren. Not a single member in that line is left alive. And now they were in such a sad state. And I tried my best to take care of them properly, but did I fail to take care of them properly? Due to my inappropriate behavior, did they leave home and did they drown themselves in the Ganges? And at that time, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting in this way, Narada Muni came and he started to advise him that the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes, or rather he came, to take care of the situation. He comes to establish dharma. When irreligiosity prevails due to the demonic influence on this planet, the Lord comes to organize things in a proper way. He again reinstates dharma. So he has done that. So, and everything is happening by His divine arrangement. So don't lament. Rather understand the inconceivable arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accept it. And remain on this planet as long as the Lord remains on the planet. But when He leaves, then only you leave. And the Pandavas did that. When they got the news that Krishna left the planet, Yudhishthira Maharaj just coronated Parikshit Maharaj on the throne and he quit home. And the other four brothers followed him along with Draupadi. They all started to walk towards the Himalayas in Mahaprasthan, in a great departure, where they walk and walk and walk without stopping, without eating, without sleeping, without drinking. They just walk until the body fell. The first one to fall was Draupadi, then Sahadev, then Nakul, then Arjuna, then Bhima. But for Yudhishthira Maharaj, the chariot came from the heavenly planet to take him up there. So this is how a devotee of the Lord acts. They are the first Pandavas, the perfect examples of the devotees. And from that we get to know how we should behave as devotees. The Pandavas, it is not that they were heartless individuals, they were actually very soft-hearted people, very soft-hearted individuals, all the great warriors. In one hand, they learned the art of fighting a battle, kill people in this battle. They learned the art of killing. But at the same time, we can see what a soft heart they had. Then how can such soft-hearted people act in such a ruthless way? Because they see things in the light of scriptures and act according to the scriptural injunctions, performing their duties. It's a duty that they are executing. Arjuna could not really fight the battle of Kurukshetra. He is described that his body was trembling, seeing who are there in the enemy line. His dearest grandfather, his spiritual master, his Astra Guru, his guru whom he revered as, who he loved like his own father. He also loved Krishna, loved Arjuna. Dronacharya also loved Arjuna, even with greater affection than his own son. Now Arjuna has to kill them. Therefore Arjuna is saying, telling Krishna, katham bhishmam aham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana. How can I kill Bhishma? How can I kill Dronacharya? How can I even release arrows towards them? But Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. And then we see Arjuna is situated in knowledge. And now he is prepared to fight. Not to regain his kingdom, but as a duty. Krishna told, therefore he must do that. For a devotee, Krishna's pleasure is what really matters. And for the sake of pleasing Krishna, they are prepared to do anything. So this is the characteristic of a devotee. For the sake of Krishna, he is prepared to do anything. And while executing his duty, it doesn't matter whom he has to kill or whom he has to save. In this way we can see that these scriptures are is establishing such wonderful examples in front of us, teaching us as devotees what we should do, how we must act, how we must think, how we must behave. And ultimately there is a very simple consideration. For the sake of Krishna's pleasure, a devotee is prepared to do anything. And if Krishna is not pleased, he would not If it's not for Krishna's pleasure, he wouldn't act at all. Everything is centered around Krishna. Whether it's going to please Krishna or whether it's not going to please Krishna. Whether something is approved by Krishna or whether it hasn't been approved by Krishna. And that is his only consideration. Whatever is for the sake of Krishna, whatever is for Krishna's pleasure, for propagating Krishna consciousness, to establish the glory of Krishna in devotee acts. And he doesn't have any other consideration. And that's why Rupa Goswami defined this pure devotional service as Anna Vilashita Sunnam. No other desire whatsoever. Abhilash, the word abhilash means desire. Anya abhilasha sunya. Anna abhilashita sunya. Shunna means not. No consideration for anything else but Krishna's pleasure. And that is pure devotional service. And that is the ultimate goal of life, which has been established in the scriptures time and time again. Gaur Premanande Hari, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Naturally, Pandavas, because that's where they came from, right? They are Krishna's eternal associates. They came with Krishna. Did everybody hear the question? Okay, yeah, thought as well. The question is, did the Pandavas go to Vaikuntha or they went somewhere, went to the heavenly planets? The answer to that is, yes, the Pandavas are the eternal associates of Krishna. They came to participate in Krishna's pastimes and they went back along with Krishna when he withdrew his pastimes. So naturally Pandavas are in Vaikuntha. But when the devotees come by the divine arrangement of Krishna to this material nature, they act according to Krishna's plan. And Krishna's plan is to deliver the living entities. So apparently, when the chariot came to Yudhishthira Maharaj from heavenly planet, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked whether the Pandavas and his other brothers are there. And he was told that no, they are not there. Where are they? They are in hell. So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, then I'll go there too. I don't want to go to heaven if my brothers are not there. So, what does it actually prove? A devotee simply wants devotee's association. A devotee is not concerned about heaven or hell. Wherever the association of devotees is available, a devotee goes there. Because the association of devotee creates Vaikuntha atmosphere, right? And then, why did the Pandavas go to the hellish planet? Other brother, not because they are sinful. A pure devotee of the Lord, how can he be sinful? Krishna says that one who surrenders unto him, he delivers him from all his sinful reactions. So the Pandavas who had always been so surrendered to him, how can Pandavas have any sin? So what do we understand then? Pandavas went to the hellish planet to deliver the residents of the hellish planet. Darshane pavitra karu etumano. Just by giving darshan, just by seeing a Vaishnava, one becomes purified. So the residents of the hell became purified just by seeing the Pandavas. So that's why they went there. Just by appearing there, they delivered all of the sinful people in the hellish planet. And in this way, they created good fortune everywhere, and then they went back to the spiritual sky.
It's also said that Yudhishthira Maharaj also saw Duryodhana in the heavenly planets. So, I mean, was he also enlightened?
No, that was... Well, ultimately, Duryodhana also is an associate of Krishna. Yeah. So he's also somebody good. You see, the pastimes have been described as like a play on a stage. Right? On a stage, a play is being enacted. Now, in that play, someone is a hero, someone is a villain. Right? But off stage, we see the villain and the hero, they have their arms on each other's shoulder, talking like best of friends. So ultimately it is just an act, and those who participate in those pastimes of the Lord, they are inevitably the associates of the Lord. Yes, Narada Rishi Prabhu.
At the very instance, a man from higher order and a woman from lower order, and born of sin, his child is not considered lower. The same thing is being repeated by Chandra Pandit. I was wondering why Vidura was addressed as.
Why? Vidura was? Yeah, from the social material consideration, you see the law must be followed. Laws must be abided by for the social structure. Otherwise, there will be anarchy, right? Otherwise, there won't be any law and order, right? Therefore, everybody in Vedic culture acted according to the scriptural injunctions. And since a person born out of Sudra mother is considered to be Sudra, although his father is Vasudeva, one of the most exalted personalities, the literary incarnation of the Lord. But because the body received according to the mother's nature, right? The soul has the influence of the father, the body has the influence of the mother. Therefore, according to the body, the calculation was that if the mother, whatever the mother's situation is, the child's condition is accordingly. But the thing is, the ultimate consideration is not with the body. The spiritual, when it comes to spiritual consideration, then all these laws do not apply. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nasi. It doesn't matter whether one is a Brahman or a Sudra. Jai Krishna Tattva Vetta Shai Guru Hai. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself established, and especially Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And that's why he was criticized so severely by the less intelligent class of people. That why he is giving Brahman initiation to those who are not born in a Brahmana family. Same thing with Prabhupada. Like, he went to the countries where people did not have any knowledge or understanding of Vedic culture. Prabhupada gave them Brahmanism. He gave them, brought them to the highest social platform. Why? Because when one comes to the pure spiritual platform, then all these material considerations are of no consequence at all. Then it doesn't matter. As long as one is in a bodily platform, yes, those considerations are there. But when one comes to a spiritual platform, then it's totally different. And Prabhupada is mentioning in this chapter only that in one hand, Vidura is considered to be a sutra. But at the same time, we find that Vidura is instructing Dhritarashtra. So a sutra cannot instruct a kshatriya king. So is Vidura acting as a Sudra in that platform? No. Because of his spiritual wisdom, because of his spiritual enlightenment, he is elevated to a situation of a Vaishnava, where he is superior to everyone in the Varnashram platform. A devotee's situation is beyond Varnashram. So that is the ultimate consideration. Who? Well, Krishna's devotees may be in the transcendental platform, but the society was following the social codes. Varnashram is actually a social consideration. It's a material consideration. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Varnashram. This is external.
Therefore, also, Bhagavata was not accepted as Kshatriya, and therefore, he was not invited at the time of difficulties. So, even if he was being a son.
Yeah. Same as Vidura, although his Vasudev son is considered to be a Sudra. So that physical consideration, the body's consideration, is more important than the mother's identity. Okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premananda Krishna.